This is Chris Malik, host of the WDW Review podcast and owner at Saratoga Springs. You're listening to the My DVC Points podcast.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 16 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's guest has been a friend of mine for well over a year, and we have spent hours talking Disney together. When I finally got around to getting her to pick up the microphone and give you guys a great interview, she did not disappoint. We have all kinds of fun stories, opinions, and personal preferences to share with you today, including a little debate we have going on internally about the best resorts out there. I would like to welcome to the show my friend Ella Porter. Hey, Ella, how are you today?
Hi, Chad. I'm great. How are you?
I am finer than frog hair.
Awesome.
Cannot complain. Where are your home resorts?
So we have three. We have points at the Grand Floridian, at Bay Lake Tower, and at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Those are three great resorts.
They're my three favorites.
So what was your Disney experience before becoming a DVC member?
When my son was little, he was still is a complete Star Wars nerd. And when Disney started doing Star Wars weekends, I had never been to Disney World, and I was sure I would hate it. I was convinced I would hate it. So we never planned a trip. I was like, it's a little too much for me. I'd rather go to Europe, the regular things that you hear. And then when Disney started doing Star Wars weekends, my son was 5 or 6. I was like, well, maybe we'll go for one trip. And I over-researched it and planned everything. And I learned about DVC when I was researching that first trip. But of course, I was like, well, this is going to be our only trip. So that's not something that we even need to look at.
Not feasible.
Exactly. Like, doesn't make any sense. So we get to Disney World and we check in to Caribbean Beach Resort. I am going to make some enemies here, but I absolutely hated it. I did not enjoy the experience at the resort at all. So we were there the year that they reopened Star Tours. George Lucas was in the park the day that they reopened Star Tours. So we went that day.
Well, that's cool.
It was really cool. And it was a sea of people, and it was so hot. The heat index was over 100, and it was just shoulder-to-shoulder people as far as the eye could see. And we're standing there in this crowd, and George Lucas and his security guard say, excuse me, to us, and walk right past us. So that was my first moment of when I got it. It was like,
okay.
Oh.
Now, did your son recognize him?
Oh, he did instantly. Now, he was on his way to make a speech on when the hat stage used to be there. He was going to introduce Star Tours to the crowd. But for us, that was enough.
Oh,
it was so cool. So we're standing
there. For any Star Wars fan, right? I mean,
that's
just like geek me out to the max right there.
It was like, yeah, like we literally stayed for his speech, but then we had to like take a minute. And that's kind of where DVC comes in. We walked all of it was when paper fast passes were still a thing. All the fast passes.
Oh, man, I remember those.
Yeah. When we got to the park, all of the fast passes were gone for the whole day for Star Tours, for the brand new Star Tours. And we had gotten there at like 6 in the morning, and we went straight to the kiosk when it opened. We just were not fast enough. So we didn't have fast passes for the ride that we basically made the whole trip for. And I was like not feeling the joy. And then we're standing in this crowd and George Lucas walks, like brushes shoulders with us, which was an incredible experience. So that's kind of worth the whole trip right there. The crowd was really thick.
You had me at George Lucas. Okay.
I know. It was a really tremendously great experience. And then, you know, the crowd is heavy and it's really, really hot. So my husband went and got me a frozen lemonade because I was grumpy. And we kind of ducked into the DVC kiosk on Hollywood Boulevard, which is still there. We take a picture in front of that same DVC kiosk on every trip because we walked in there and the guide who was behind the counter was like, hey, do you guys want some stickers? And so I gave our son stickers, and I was like, yeah, mostly we're just here to steal your shade He was like, oh, what are your plans for today? So I said, well, we wanted to ride the revamped Star Tours, but unfortunately, we were too late to get fast passes. And he was like, oh, no, that's not going to. And my son was wearing a full Jedi regalia, like head to toe.
Full Star Wars nerd gear.
The whole.
I'm picturing it.
Yeah. Had a whole custom costume made. It was.
And about how old is he?
Oh, gosh. He had to have been 6, maybe 7. Uh-oh.
So a 6-year-old, full Star Wars nerd gear.
Exactly.
No fast passes.
Nothing.
I see where this is going.
Right? You do see where this is going. So the DVC guide was like, that's not going to work. You can't not ride Star Tours today. So he whips out this golden pad and he writes us the golden ticket fast pass for Star Tours on opening day.
Oh my.
Didn't ask us for anything. He was like, don't tell anyone I did this.
He's no
like, don't,
kidding.
You know, other guests. He's like, we're not supposed to use these for Star Tours today, but I think you guys need to ride Star Tours. So then I was like overcome with gratitude. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, who can I thank for you? And he was like, no. He's like, that's what we do. He's like, do you know what DVC is? I'm like, yeah, I'm familiar with the concept of timeshares, but I don't know that it's something that we would use. And he's like, well, how about this? He's like, go ride Star Tours and then come back. I'm going to have a red van waiting out front for you. And we'll take
you
over.
The red vans.
Yeah, I miss the red vans because you can always see them coming from a mile away. He's like, we're going to take you over to the sales center and give you guys some free ice cream. And if you want to do a tour, we'll set you up with a tour. If not, stay and have snacks. It'll be a real casual thing. So okay. That we went on the tour. We went and had ice cream. And then they gave us 3 fast passes, which I think were paper at the time. Had to have been paper fast passes. And it completely changed the way that our trip went. We were able to add a couple of rides that we couldn't have gotten because the fast passes had all been distributed. Basically, there were just thousands and thousands of people in the park that day, not just that day, but like in the area that week because of the Star Wars launch event. It changed the scope of our days. It was like kind of the moment I really understood that Disney crafts every aspect, everything that you encounter when you're in the parks and when you're on a Disney vacation.
It's a highly produced stage.
It's really
There's
highly
a reason
produced.
Why they call it on stage.
Exactly. And it is down to the tiniest little thing. After we toured the one bedroom at Bay Lake Tower, I was like, this is the way I want a vacation. I want to come to a place where my experience matters. And where customer service is still important, I want to do it in a way that feels like being at home, where we're not all on top of each other. And this is perfect. And Bay Lake Tower is exactly my style. I love the contemporary. I never thought I would get to stay there. So after we did the tour, I was like, okay, sign me up. This is the thing that we're doing. Literally on our first trip, right when Bay Lake Tower had opened, one tour and some ice cream and George Lucas, and here we are.
Now, if those sales rep could just get George Lucas to come back for Star Wars and replicate this, add on to Riviera right there on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, he stayed at the Grand Floridian for Christmas, right?
No, I did not.
He stayed at the Grand Floridian for Christmas, and we ran into him in the lobby twice.
Really?
Yes. So we have now brushed shoulders with George Lucas at Disney 3 times in life.
You are no mere Disney mortal at this point in time, right?
Oh my gosh, I know. But he had a security detail with him. So we always try to give people space no matter what their background is. So we didn't approach him, but it felt so special to be at the same resort that George Lucas picked for his family Christmas.
Very cool.
It was so cool. And it's funny because those are now the bookends. My very first Disney trip and our most recent Disney trip, they both had George Lucas in them.
At this point in time, I'm just tempted to cut off the recording because I don't know where I can go from here. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
you ran into George Lucas twice. Okay.
I know. Right? And it's like,
the rest of the interview is going to suck from here on out. Okay.
It's pretty incredible. And I think it's a place where special things happen. You know, we experienced some pretty huge crowds, so we scaled back what we had planned to do and took it much more slowly, and it was great. We had a wonderful trip. Even just doing our fast passes and dining reservations, which we tried not to do basically anything over and above those, so we did half-day parks and dining reservations. It couldn't have been more lovely.
You got George Lucas, and I think you did the holiday season right. Plan out your ADRs, plan out your fast passes, and if you execute that and get that done, you're good.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, anything other than that, other than just enjoying the energy and the atmosphere of the crowd, I think you're setting yourself up to fail. And if you're going Christmas, New Year's week.
You know, I always get a little worked up when people are like, oh, we want to go during Christmas. It's like, you can have a wonderful trip over Christmas, but it's not the same as a trip any other time of the year. You kind of have to go for the atmosphere. And things like the Christmas tree trail at Disney Springs. We spent an hour just walking through and looking at different Christmas trees, and it was wonderful. I think a lot of people would feel like that was a failure, because the way that people feel like they have to overplan and over-architecture, overbuild their trips now, I think that a lot of people would feel like, oh, well, I wish I were riding Space Mountain right now. It's like, I feel like Christmas is different. You can ride Space Mountain anytime. And Christmas, you can see the Christmas tree trail.
When I go in summer, I can usually pick up a night fast pass for Space Mountain. Same
day. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not a problem. Mm-mm. Or I can go at during fireworks and walk on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times when I can hit Space Mountain walk on.
Right, exactly.
Not in Christmas.
Nope.
You mentioned that you bought in after that initial presentation. Was this your first experience with timeshares?
So my mom used to actually write title insurance for a timeshare company.
Okay, so you had quite a bit of knowledge.
So I knew about timeshares, and as much as I knew about timeshares, what I most knew was that we didn't want one, that it wasn't something that was going to work for us, that it was a thing that kind of saddled you with these fees and tied you to a specific week, and I was dead set against them. I was like, this is not a thing that we will ever take advantage of. So I went to that first presentation for the ice cream. And I am not a susceptible to sales kind of person. But as soon as I understand how different Disney Vacation Club structure was, I knew that it was something that would work for us and that we could build into a tradition. So I had a pretty good foundational knowledge of timeshares before, but I kind of thought of them as the old style of timeshares where you get assigned a week. You go that same week every year and you stay in the same unit or a similar unit every year. And I didn't really understand the idea of a point system. After exploring the idea of a point system, it's so much more flexible than a fixed week is. Although I, of course, ended up buying a fixed week later in my sort of DVC career. I own a DVC fixed week, which is, it's funny to say, I hated the idea of a fixed week and then ended up with a fixed week.
That is a beautiful irony there. Let's dive into that. You bought your Bay Lake contract.
Yes.
And then what happened?
So we went for several years. I can't remember how big of a gap there was between Bay Lake and Grand Floridian, but probably 5 or 6 years. And we enjoyed every minute at Bay Lake. It's still my husband's favorite resort. We actually tacked on 2 days at the beginning of our Christmas trip this year just so we could stay at Bay Lake because he loves it. Just, it's absolutely his style. It's kind of his speed, a little slower, but still elegant and, you know, very Disney.
Very modern.
Like it's, yeah, exactly. It kind of ties into Tomorrowland. For me, I always get upset when people are like, oh, it's just a regular hotel. And I don't see it that way. I feel like all of the deluxe resorts sort of tie into something at Magic Kingdom, or at least all the monorail resorts, I feel like, tie into something at Magic Kingdom. And for me, the Contemporary represents Tomorrowland. I think it's really fun. And I think it's very Disney.
I've actually heard that theory before, that they were ended up designing everything to fit a land in Magic Kingdom, right down to Fort Wilderness and Wilderness Lodge as well.
I mean, I think it's not an accident. Disney doesn't do things on accident.
Because you've got Polynesian doing Adventureland.
Exactly.
You've got the two wilderness resorts, the Fort and Wilderness Lodge doing Frontierland.
And then I think Grand Floridian can tie to Fantasyland because of the Mary Poppins ties. You know, the carousel, even though it's Prince Charming's carousel now. I think that there are a lot of ties between Fantasyland and the Grand Floridian.
I've always heard it as Main Street USA ties back to Grand Flow.
Oh, absolutely.
Both about the 1920s kind of a time frame.
Sure.
From the Victorian styling from Main Street and Main Street USA. That's how I've always heard it tied back into. But I could get Mary Poppins going over to Fantasyland and even Alice.
Oh, for sure.
The teacups and the Mad Hatter's tea party is right there at the Grand Flow. So you could probably make a deal either way.
I guess we'd have argument. To get a... Yeah, I could make an argument either way. But I see the Main Street tie, too. I definitely agree that the architecture is really similar and the color palettes are really similar. I love Bay Lake Tower. My family loves Bay Lake Tower. And it meant, like, that trip meant so much to us and that purchase meant so much to us that it's like anytime somebody's like, oh, well, Bay Lake Tower just isn't very Disney. I'm like, I don't agree with that at all. Like, it feels very magical and very Disney to us.
That's an interesting point, because everybody has their pros and their cons and their preferences and their likes and their dislikes. And that's what I try to pull out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some of the resort theming seems a little sterile to me, but yeah. I will tell you that one bedroom at Bay Lake is my favorite room in all of DVC.
It's so good. The one bedroom is so good. Now, I think I probably prefer the one bedroom at Grand Floridian, but just by a hair. Like, just by a hair. We love Top of the World. Well, I think it's funny because my brother-in-law and his wife come with us on trips occasionally, and they love Trader Sam's. Like, they go to Trader Sam's for a cocktail after dinner every night of their trip. They love it so much.
I could see that.
Yeah, and I like Trader Sam's. I think it is so cute, like, just so fun. But the way they feel about Trader Sam's is the way I feel about Top of the World. Like, Top of the World feels so exclusive to me and just so well done. And it's nice to be, like, sitting in a place where you know everybody kind of does Disney the same way as you, or at least they're in DVC rooms and they've been through some of the same experiences as you. And then the bartenders have waited on, like, all DVC people. Just Top of the World feels really special to me.
It's like it's the clubhouse of the club.
I agree completely.
I hope that they don't ever not renew that contract.
Oh, me too.
Keep offering that up.
That'll just be so sad. It would change the way I felt about Bay Lake Tower if they ever rearranged the access to Top of the World. I would be very sad.
My only thought was, and this is just a pure speculation fear, but the Riviera is going to have rooftop viewing as well of Epcot fireworks and some view of Hollywood. So I could see them saying, hey, operational expenses, we're only going to be able to offer one out of the two just from pure budget reasons. But I hope that doesn't come to pass.
I think the operational budget for Top of the World comes from the dues at Bay Lake Tower. I don't think it's a promotional expense. I don't think Disney pays to operate it. I think we do.
Yeah, I believe that's the case, which is why they can't take resale members
exactly.
And say you can't come up here because it's paid for by dues. Top of the World is such an exclusive feeling.
Right. It really feels lovely.
It's our home club.
Yeah, it is our club. It's like our clubhouse. And I love to hang out in our clubhouse. It's one of my favorite parts.
I do too. And I'm a Bay Lake owner as well. So I really feel like I own part of that lounge in that building.
And isn't it amazing?
The chocolate cake is to die for.
It really is. And I'm so sad they took away the poke bowl, because that was like, my husband and I would go up, we would split a flatbread and a poke bowl and have chocolate cake. And we would have that as our dinner. This last time we went up, no more poke bowl. They have a shrimp dish now, which is good, but I miss the poke bowl. I really like it.
They cut off access to that chocolate cake.
Right.
Break out the pitchforks is all I'm saying. Forget the rest of the lounge. Don't cut me off from my cake.
The chocolate cake is, it really is. It's one of my favorite desserts, and I've eaten at almost every restaurant in Disney World, almost. And I would put that 7-layer chocolate cake against desserts at every signature restaurant.
I think we chased
we got
a
off track
here,
somewhere, and I can't remember where.
That's okay. It was a good natural conversation rabbit, and we allow those.
Sure. But
you were saying how when you joined DVC, you didn't want a fixed week, and then you end up buying a fixed week at the Grand Float.
How did that happen? Okay, so
there's a story here.
There is. It's a hilarious story. Let me go back to the beginning. I really like the feel of the Polynesian. I think it is just really well done. Super cute and fun. And, you know, always upbeat, and the music and the smell and the sounds. And when they announced that they were going to do DVC there, I was like, we're going to buy our second round of points at the Polynesian. I didn't need to see it. I didn't need any information on it. I was sure we were going to buy our next set of points at the Polynesian.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I was sold. I was done. I was ready. I was like, open it faster. Open it faster. Just get it here faster. And then when they announced that it was only going to be studios, I was a little disappointed. But I was like, oh, well, maybe we'll use it for couples trips, or eventually we'll get two studios and we'll share between, like, my brother and sister-in-law and us and whatever. We'll make it work. We'll make the studios work. And they opened up booking. So we booked our spring break, happened to coincide with the opening weekend of the Polynesian. So we booked a 3-day weekend and we flew down. And I hated it. We stayed for 3 nights, and I did not like it at all. Now, I have since stayed at the Polynesian, and my mind has changed about it a little bit. I do enjoy my stays there.
It got upgraded a little bit from Hate It, so okay,
yeah,
that's good.
It's been way upgraded from Hate It, but our first day, I don't know if it was just, we were in Pago Pago facing the parking lot, and I hated the view, so we were looking at a parking lot, not even the good monorail side, we were looking at just the regular parking lot side. And it felt like they rushed the opening a little bit to me. So the shower, which is a gorgeous tile shower, the drains.
The individual shower, right?
Yeah, the individual shower. The drain kept backing up. So like the bathroom floor was wet and like one of the towel hooks fell off. And it was just like opening day problems that you should expect. It turned me off to the Polynesian. I was like, I called my guide. I was like, you know, maybe this isn't for us. And my guide said to me, what about the Grand Floridian? I was like, oh no, I'm much too cool for the Grand Floridian. It's way too stuffy. It is just feels, you know, much too elegant. It's not vacation friendly. It's not kid friendly. And he was like, I think you're wrong.
He called you out on it, huh?
Exactly. He's like, I think you don't understand. He's like, here's what I want you to do. He's like, go to the Grand Floridian and have lunch at the Grand Floridian Cafe. And walk around the grounds, and then if you want to do a tour, call me and we'll do a tour. So we went and had lunch.
Challenge accepted.
I know, exactly. I mean, I never say no to a new restaurant. Like, that's one of the things I love doing. So I was like, oh, okay, so we'll go have lunch. And the menu is excellent. I love the Grand Floridian Cafe. It's, I feel like, just as an aside, it's one of those rare restaurants where you get a signature level experience, like the quality of the food and the menu and the service. Is, I feel, equivalent to a signature in most places for a standard table service. So I think it's like one of the best values in all of Disney World, the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Okay. Note to self, check that one out.
Exactly. So we had lunch and then we sat in the lobby and listened to the live brass band play and were kind of surrounded by all of the flowers and the elegant sort of beauty. And then the front doors of the Grand Floridian open, and this family with two kids from the pool ran screaming across the lobby, right? Like laughing and screaming. And it just took that little bit of contrast for me to understand that it's not stuffy. Like it's still vacation fun. Just
that it can be nice and formal and all that, but your kids can still be kids.
Exactly. So it's, you know, it just took these two little kids screaming across the lobby and one of their parents chasing after them, which was hilarious. And I called the guide back and I'm like, okay, we'll do a tour. So he tours us.
That could be my kids. I'm telling you.
Oh, mine. Yeah. My son, when he was little too, he was an escape artist. So I would have been chasing him too. And nobody was upset. It wasn't like a negative situation. They were having a great time in the middle of this. What I thought was like stuffy elegant is really more like casual elegant. And it just took an afternoon there. And luckily, my guide knew that it might fit our needs a little bit better. So I called him and I said, okay, we'll come do a tour. So we went to the sales center and he toured us through the one bedroom. And that was all I needed. The one bedroom is, if I could design a condo to live in, like for the rest of my life, it would be the one bedroom in Grand Floridian. Like, it is perfect to me.
Now you've sold it to me a little bit higher level because I've stayed in the one bedroom there. And
yeah, it's pretty special. The Grand Floridian's pretty special. So I'm sitting with my guide and I'm like still kind of like bummed out about my Polynesian experience because I was like 6 months worth of, I'm going to buy Polynesian. And said to my guide, I will buy a week 51 Lakeview Studio. And he laughed because we were like in year two. He was like, week 51 had been sold out for 12 months. He's like, I can't find you a week 51. And I'm like, if you find me a week 51 Lakeview Studio, I will buy Grand Floridian. So he's like laughing at me. He thinks this is hilarious. So I'm like, okay, well, if there's no week 51s, then it's not meant to be. Week 51 is a lot of points. So I didn't want a one bedroom, but I knew if we bought the week 51, we would have the points to do a one bedroom any other time of the year. So it's only Christmas that we would do the studio. Christmas and Easter, we do a studio because those weeks are so high in points. But any other time we go, we do a one bedroom. So week 51 is our anniversary. my husband and I. And week 51 is also Christmas. And I love the number 51. It feels like such a positive number. It's kind of like the glass is half full number. So I was like, if you can find me a week 51 in a Lakeview studio, we will buy that fixed week. That's the only fixed week that I want. I don't necessarily want to buy points. I feel like if we can find a week 51, it's meaningful enough, and that will mean I should buy this contract. So we leave. I'm like, thank you for your time. Thank you for showing us Grand Floridian. We have to think about it. And then like 5 or 6 hours later, he calls me. He says to me, you're not going to believe this, but someone just released a week 51 Lakeview studio. He's like, I have one week 51 in any size, and it's a Lakeview studio. So I'm like, well, I guess it's meant to be. So we went back and we signed the contract. We bought the week 51 Lakeview studio, and the rest is history.
Now, what happened there from the, my mom taught me that the timeshare business and fixed weeks are bad.
She didn't teach me that. I thought they were bad. Like, I thought nobody would want to go the same place every year and stay in the same unit. Who would want to do that? And then after a decade of going to Disney, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect sense why somebody would want to do that. And I would like to be that somebody now. So it's just a little bit of age, I think, and a little bit of experience led me from, why would you do that? To, oh, that's why you would do that. So you don't have to ever think about chasing that reservation at 11 months. You can just let it book itself and show up with your suitcase. It's really a lovely feeling. Knowing that for the next 46 years or 44 years, something 44, 45 years, we can just show up at the Grand Floridian the Sunday before Christmas and move into our room. It's just like a really, it's a great feeling.
Now, the other thing that that has going for it is if you decide you don't want to go that week, tell me about those options on fixed weeks.
So our week, I think, is worth 256 points. I'm quoting from the top of my head. I don't have my dashboard open. But if we decide that we don't want to do Christmas week, which, you know, in the future, we may actually shift to early December, DVC books our room for us 12 or 13 months in advance, and it shows up in my dashboard. If between 12 months and 11 months, we decide we want to do something different, all I have to do is call Disney, or call member services, rather, and have them release that week, and they deposit the 256 points into my account like they were my regular points. So they just release my week, and I have access to my points. Then we can just book online anything else at the Grand Floridian that we might want.
At the 11-month window.
At right. the 11-month window,
at that
yes.
point in time, you've given up your fixed week, and mm-hmm. you get all your points back.
Exactly.
And
and
boom,
so we can move
right?
them.
You're just a normal contract and
just
points.
Just normal contract at that point. So it's like the flexibility is great because you're not tied to the fixed week. Obviously, I would not have bought the fixed week if it was like you can only do this. You pay a little bit of a premium. You have to buy 10% more points than the average that that week costs. So I think that week normally costs on average 240 something points, and we had to buy, or 230-something points, we had to buy 250-something points. But you get all those points. You own all those points. So you still own the 256 points. And if you opt not to use your week, then they release the week and you get those points just like a regular contract.
As you see fit.
Yeah, as you see fit. And because
You can 11-month them at the Grand Flow. You can 7-month them
exactly.
someplace else.
Anywhere else you want. That's enough points for us to do a one-bedroom standard basically any time the rest of the year for at least 6 nights, sometimes 7, but at least 6 nights the rest of the year we can do a 1-bedroom, which is our preferred unit size. When I found out that you get both, the kind of the best of both worlds, it was an attractive option to us.
Here's an additional selling point that every time I had heard it went, yeah, 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 yeah. But now I have been told you are guaranteed this week. And if they do something crazy like the 2020 point charts and the cost of that studio goes up, you still have your full week, right?
That's correct. So if the average point cost increases to 275 points at any point in the next 40 plus years, we still have our week. We're still guaranteed access to week 51, which is our favorite week of the year to travel. So that is absolutely an advantage. If they should redistribute the points charts in some crazy way in the future, and our week ends up costing more than the points that we own, we still get it.
To me, if I was to do this over again, I think it would be worth, and I was buying that amount of points direct, I think it would be worth having a conversation with my guide to get the exact 411 and see how all of this shakes out.
Mm-hmm. It's a good option that most people don't know about. People don't believe me that there's a guaranteed week option for DVC because it's like so rare that people don't understand why you would go backwards. Why would you go from a point system to a fixed week? And it's like, well, it's the best of both worlds. It future-proofs your vacation planning. If the points charts get redistributed, you still have access to that week. And if you don't want that week, you can still release it and use the points like regular. So for us, we gave up the incentive. Grand Floridian was almost sold out. It was about 70% sold out when we bought our fixed week. But there was still a little bit of a direct incentive. And if you opt for the guaranteed week, you don't get whatever the direct sales incentive is. So that was the only negative.
So it costs you more per point and you have to buy more points.
And you have to buy more points, right? So there,
but you do get the guaranteed.
Exactly.
And I know since then they've started offering guaranteed weeks for like run weekends, which if you're a runner, that might not be a bad idea either.
Yeah. So that's actually a really cool concept. I talked to my guide about that for Copper Creek because one of the weeks that we love to go is the week between Halloween and the first Christmas party. If you arrive on the 30th or the 31st of October and you stay until the 7th or 8th of November, you can do the last Halloween party and the first Christmas party. That's also the week of the Wine and Dine half marathon. So we actually called our guide and asked about that. They call it a special event guaranteed week. It moves through the calendar tied to the dates of those marathons. But it also, like for runners, would be awesome because it includes up to like 5 registrations. You still have to pay the registration fee, of course. But they hold 5.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize.
Yes.
They hold up to 5.
Yeah, they hold up to 5 registration spots for you. So the race will never sell out on you. So if you're a runner, getting up and fighting for those bibs is a thing you aren't interested in doing. The guaranteed special event week has that perk going for it too. Plus, unlike regular guaranteed weeks, my guaranteed week will always check in on a Sunday. The special event guaranteed weeks, you can actually float your check-in day. You can arrive up to 3 days before the race, and you get to pick your check-in day for your guaranteed week. So it's it's really cool. It's even more flexible. It gives you some superpowers. You get to pick your check-in day. You get to hold 5 spots for your race. So the race never gets sold out. It's a pretty neat program, but what you give up for that is the incentives. Like if you're going to buy that, you have to buy it all in one contract. So you always have to sell it as one contract. And, you know, large contracts can be a little tougher to sell. So that's maybe a disadvantage. Maybe it's not, but you get a lot of advantage.
I don't know that I would do that for a grand villa.
Oh yeah.
That would be a hard contract to sell.
But, yeah. One of those came up on the market like a year ago. A grand villa for Thanksgiving week or something. It was insane. Like 1,200
DVC Retail Market had it out there. It was it was a grand flow Christmas week, and it stayed out there for months.
Months and months and months. They must have taken a lowball offer on that one just to get it snapped up in Rover.
Well, I think what happened is they ended up deciding not to sell after it sat out there, because I'd actually inquired about that.
Good for them. I hope that they are using that week in good health. That is goals.
Godspeed to those people.
Exactly.
And hopefully they keep enjoying Disney. And I'm friends with the real estate agent. So I was like, do you want me to put an offer in on this? I know it's not going to pass at first refusal.
Mm-hmm.
They had that thing down to like 119 a point for Grand Flow.
I know. It was insane.
It was just dirt cheap priced on a cost per point level. Now, you still had to write a check with some serious zeros in there.
Yeah. And
okay.
And at least one extra comma, which is pretty intimidating.
Yeah. Whew. Okay, so that explains how we got there. Now, you've added on as well at Animal Kingdom, right?
Yes. So I added on it's a very small contract at Animal Kingdom recently, last January. So Animal Kingdom is our newest contract. We bought Animal Kingdom literally just for access to club level, because there are the only rooms in all of the DVC system for club level are at Jumbo House. So if you want to say club level.
And they're like, isn't there only 5. Like 10 or something?
Well, there are 5. Okay. 5 2-bedroom lock-offs. So a maximum of 10, 5 studios and 5 1-bedrooms. But by the time people book 2-bedrooms, it really ends up being 5, 6, 7 total rooms. The way that the declaration is written, there are 5 2-bedroom lock-offs. That's all. In the whole system, there are 5 of them.
And the people who love those rooms own Animal Kingdom.
That's correct. So we love being spoiled. So we bought that contract and we actually haven't even stayed DVC club level yet. Before we decided to buy Animal Kingdom, we flew down for my husband's birthday the year before last and we booked cash 2 nights, which is the same club level. So if you stay at Jumbo House, you have access to the same club. It's a different bank of rooms, but the actual Kilimanjaro club is shared between the hotel side and the DVC side. So we booked 2 nights at club level and we didn't even go to the parks. We just did pool and club level and we visited Disney Springs and did a little bit of shopping, but it was a little short weekend trip and we're totally spoiled in club level. There's nothing like it. And we decided to add on a very small contract there. So we have 160 points there.
Now for a few nights at club level.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 nights in a 1-bedroom in the lowest season or a week in a studio. In a medium season, we're going to have our first day as a family in club level over Easter week this coming year in 2019. I'm very excited. That's actually our next trip.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear about that one. I'll need to bring you back for a follow-up on that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to take so many pictures.
That includes your homes. Now, you have 3 different resorts here. Are they all the same use year or did you mix that up as well?
No, all the same use year. I am a big, huge, gigantic proponent of keeping the use year the same. Sometimes we'll have like a little bit of points left in Bay Lake Tower and a few points left in Animal Kingdom and a few points left on the Grand Floridian contract if we have canceled and released those points and booked something else that was fewer points. And then what happens is we can watch last minute booking tool, or they used to call the resort availability tool. Now it's just the booking tool. And sometimes we're able to just grab a few days somewhere, even like Saratoga Springs, and take a last minute trip. And that just wouldn't be possible if we had to work with transferring points from one membership to another membership. So the way that we travel, we do combine points pretty frequently.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not possible. It's just easier to do it yourself.
Right, exactly. So I would not want to own separate use years. For me, that would just be a lot of headache that I would not want to deal with. I realize that there are people who are huge proponents of having multiple use years. And there are some advantages to having multiple use years, but I personally would not be interested in having a second use year. I like my one.
All of mine are the
points.
Same as well. I'm kind of with you. I like it clean and
me too.
To log on and see one number and one set of contracts.
Exactly.
And,
yes.
But I do get that. But the whole point of our show is to talk with people about the way they do Disney and the way they do DVC and to get your opinions and your experiences. That is the content of this show. So you having an opinion and articulating it is why we invite you onto the show.
Yeah.
So exactly. We can all learn.
Yeah. So for us, same use year makes everything much easier, keeps it all tidy. So for us, we're big proponents of the same use year.
Now, where all have you stayed on property? Been 7-8 years as a DVC member now?
10, I think.
10. Okay.
Close.
I didn't
Close
realize Bay Lake was that old.
Yeah, I think she turns 10 years old this year. And we were there. I don't think she had even opened to guests yet when we bought. So I think we're 10 years this year. So we have stayed everywhere at Disney World except Old Key West. And not for any reason. I think it's lovely. We've eaten dinner there. We've visited friends there. It just has never worked out that we've stayed there. So we have stayed, obviously, at the Polynesian, the Grand Floridian, Animal Kingdom. We've stayed both on the hotel side, club level, and in a DVC one-bedroom villa. Bay Lake Tower, obviously. Beach Club, we stayed in a one-bedroom.
Did you make it over to Kidani?
Yeah, we stayed at Kidani in a one-bedroom, and Jumbo for the hotel side, for club level. I think we're down to, oh, we've never stayed at Yacht Club, but it's not DVC, so it almost doesn't count. But we've stayed at every...
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
And it's, you know, it's identical to Beach Club, essentially, except for a little darker decor. I do love the Yachtsman Steakhouse, big fan, but we've never stayed at Yacht Club. But we've stayed at every DVC resort at Walt Disney World except for Old Key West. And we have also stayed at the Grand Californian and we've stayed at Aulani. So we have 3 resorts left in the system to complete our...
Or your world tour of DVC.
Exactly. Yeah. To check off every resort from the list, we would still need to stay at Old Key West, which I'm going to get there. It looks beautiful. I really do want to stay there. So we need Old Key West, we need Hilton Head, and we need Vero Beach to complete our list of every resorts.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you fly. Do you always fly or do you sometimes drive? Or
so I would say we fly 90% of the time. We're in Philadelphia. So out of our airport, we have lots and lots of major carriers. And sometimes we'll pick up, like, on a low-cost carrier, we could pick up a flight for $39 or $49. And if I can pick up a cheap flight and have some points left, then that's where that same UCR thing comes in, right? If we have some points left in our seven-month window and I can make it all come together, then my husband and I will fly down for a weekend. And if we can take our son too, then obviously it's even better. 90% of the time, we fly. Once in a while, when we go like over Easter or Christmas, or if I don't feel like flying, we have driven a few times. My family, I do all the driving. Sometimes I actually enjoy that trip down 95 once you get past D.C. After D.C., it's actually a pretty nice drive. We have driven, DC, but most of the time we fly. It's the worst. It's really terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's a really good point. So do you guys have annual passes then?
We do have annual passes. We have had annual passes basically almost since our second DVC trip. We realized that it made the most sense for us to get annual passes, especially for those last minute trips. If you already have the annual passes in place, it makes that much easier.
Got the points. You've got the annual passes, and $39 airfare pops up.
Yes, exactly.
There's generally some availability someplace at Saratoga.
Exactly. And if you have time to watch the availability tool, even when there's no availability, sometimes you can find it within a few days. Or we've had very good luck with the wait list too. So we have stayed off property, I think only once were we not able to put together a trip on actual points, and we had to stay off property. But the rest of our trips, we have been very lucky to be able to put together something even last minute.
And I know you prefer the one bedrooms, because I do as well. And so I picked up on that. I love my kitchens. I love my laundry facilities. Do you cook in the room? Do you use the laundry facilities?
Yeah. So we use the laundry. At home, I do laundry almost every day. I like having the laundry all taken care of. It's a similar pattern when we stay in a one bedroom. We travel with very minimal clothes. The three of us will share one suitcase because we know we have access to the laundry facility. We do make tremendous amount of use of the washer and dryer. I'm not going to say it's my absolute favorite feature of the one bedroom, but it's right up there. It makes it where you pay less in luggage fees and you're keeping up with less stuff and there's less stuff to forget about or lose or whatever. So I love the washer and dryer.
I was going to say that bedroom door is pretty high on my list.
It's pretty high on the list. There's so much to love about a one bedroom. When people are like, oh, well, you know, we're only a family of four, so we don't need more than a studio. I always say to fellow members, you should try a one bedroom because it's so much more than just beds for four people. It just makes your trip.
It's home.
It is. And it just, for me, it just makes the trip so much more relaxing because you're not worrying about running out of socks and you're not worried about making breakfast or any of the little stuff that could get in the way in a studio or in a regular hotel room.
Yeah, if somebody needs to take a nap, you can easily just...
You can shut the door.
There's my door again.
And it's usually me that needs the nap. I'm the one who gets grumpy in the middle of the afternoon. So generally, I have to have the nap. It really is wonderful, the ability to...
And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah. And Disney at night is my favorite thing. I love the fireworks. I love extra magic hours at night. I love the way the parks look at night. I love the way it quiets down a little bit. I love how everything is lit. So we will often take a break. We'll do rope drop and then some fast passes and then take a break in the middle of the day. And the boys go swimming and I take a little nap. And that wouldn't be possible or not as possible in a studio. So that door that closes is amazing. The fact that every one bedroom has a soaker tub in the master bath is also one of my favorite features. And one of the things that people overlook is that little nook when you walk in the door of a one bedroom, the foyer. When we had a stroller, it was the perfect place to stash a stroller. Now that we're well past stroller age, we stash our owner's lockers there, so they're out of the way. But that little foyer really just makes the room much more functional. Keep your sunscreen there, keep your flip-flops there. The stuff that you don't want to trip over, you can kind of just tuck into that foyer in the one bedroom. And there's no space like that in a studio. There isn't a place to kind of put that stuff that you're not constantly using, but you don't want it to be underfoot all the time. So that's a great feature. So when we first started traveling DVC, I cooked. I was like, in order to afford this, we will cook dinner at least five of our seven nights. And I pride myself in being a pretty good cook. So, and I enjoy doing it, so it was not a chore for me. But now as we've gotten older, incomes are a little bit more stable. We're doing a little bit better. We do a good mix. I would say most times we eat breakfast in the room. Anytime we come back for a nap and we haven't had lunch, I'll make sandwiches. And we probably do 2 or 3 dinners in the room still, but it's not like it used to be every meal in the room. We cooked every meal in the room, or as many as we could. Now we enjoy a healthy balance between eating out and eating in. I firmly believe that you're going to enjoy your restaurant meals more if it's not a chore. And by about day 4, if you've eaten 2 or 3 meals a day in a restaurant, you're like, please no more. Just make it stop. And so if you can like throw a little variety in there, and sometimes even if that variety is a frozen lasagna, it's like, oh, okay, well, that was easy and fast and cheap. And now we can spend that extra money on a nicer meal the next day.
The reason why I snickered there was when we bought into DVC, we bought enough points for 2 bedrooms, but promised ourselves we would stay in 1 bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 3 kids. It's tight in a 1 bedroom.
Now that we've gone to 2 bedrooms,
and now that I'm looking at those 2020 point charts and they close the gap from 1 bedroom to 2 bedroom,
makes it a little easier.
Right.
Yeah, that decision's a little easier.
Oh, yeah. Then the kids hear 2 bedrooms and they start hooking up friends that are going to come with us.
Oh, for sure. We have gotten 2 bedrooms when our son has brought a friend. And when we bring friends, we've gotten 2 bedrooms. And it's like, they're so well designed, you almost don't want to leave the room. Oh, this is perfect. You can go here and I can close that door.
Everybody gets their own little space, right?
Exactly.
You get 2 of those wonderful doors, okay?
I know. The door is
a big deal.
What's
not to love?
It's a big deal, the door.
I think I like the door about as much as I like a Dole Whip, so they're just beautiful things.
They are. And when your kids are little, it's like so awesome to be able to put them down, close the door, and then enjoy some time on the balcony with a glass of wine, watching the fireworks. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
One of the things that the listeners have asked us to talk about is adult-only trips. I know you've done some. How often does that happen?
So a couple times a year, at least. My husband and I like to fly down, just the two of us. When it's a last-minute trip, it's tough for my son to get away from his obligations at school and in his extracurricular program. So he'll stay here and stay with my brother-in-law or my brother and continue to go to school and whatever he needs to do, which is really lovely because then we can slow stuff down on our trip. We can eat at, you know, nicer restaurants where the menu maybe is a little more complex and ride any rides that we want instead of having to sort of tailor it around kids. And it has changed the way that we kind of think about doing Disney vacations.
Well, I agree. Disney is a completely different experience when you don't have the little ducklings in tow.
Yes, and I adore my son, obviously. He's the best.
Oh, yeah.
He's
amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love mine.
Right.
But here's what I found on adult-only trips.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to do the stuff that I want to do and my wife wants to do, or if it's a guy's trip, you know, you hit all the thrill rides. My wife likes going with a girlfriend every now and then. So we've done it couples, we've done it guys, we've done a girl's trip. We love that time because it allows us to become a kid again. Have you figured?
I agree.
It's like, I can quit adulting. When I'm there with the kids, I still have to be
the
adult.
Right.
I still have to make sure they're entertained and they have a good time.
And they eat a vegetable every now and again and sleep a little and take a shower. It's totally different when you get to be the kid on the trip. It's a pretty great experience. We're actually planning an adult-only trip in 2020. We're going to go stay at Animal Kingdom Club level, hopefully. We're lucky enough to get it. With myself and my brother and sister-in-law and 2 other couples. So it'll be 8 adults. And the plan is basically just to enjoy dining because there are just some spectacular new restaurants and to get to slow down and maybe not have to do rope drop and maybe not have those ride heavy days. Or, you know, I really love Rock and Roller Coaster. My husband and son are not fans. When it's just the adults, we can kind of split up and do a little bit more of what we each individually want. It's becoming a more and more important part. I feel like my son will be college age before too long. So we'll have to decide. I mean, there's really no decision, right? If we're going to continue to have Disney be one of our primary vacation destinations or if we're going to branch out and do other things. We've gotten kind of a taste of that now that he's old enough to be on his, not on his own, but to be able to go to school for a couple of days while he stays with family. It has made Disney World different for us. And it really is just as much an adult destination as it is a family theme park, too.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you any stronger. I love my my Disney trips without the kids. I love them with the kids. They're magical with the kids. We do things and you get to see Disney through their eyes, which is...
And that's pretty great.
An incredible experience as well. But there's enough stuff there that I like to do as well. I can keep myself busy. Now, you mentioned your son's 15, so he crossed a magical age at Disney. And at 14, they get run of the parks. They can come in and out by themselves. Has he had a chance to go do that?
So, yeah, he's very independent. Again, we live in a city and our school system doesn't do busing. We don't have yellow school buses. So kids who are in public or charter schools hit the magical age of sixth grade, the city gives them a city bus pass. And that's how they get to school. So from the time he was about 10 or 11, he's been navigating the transit system in our city pretty successfully. So it was a countdown until he turned 14. He was like, oh, okay, so we're going to go for my 14th birthday. It's about 18 months from now. I would like to be able to, you know, you guys are fun and all, but I'd like to be able to do this and this and this. And it's been really fun. Yeah, he's been able to. We've had now, I think, 3 trips where he's been old enough to go do his own thing. And this last trip, when we were there over Christmas, we actually had fast passes for Flight of Passage on the 23rd, I think, of December. And I was feeling I was a little under the weather. So he woke up, the fast passes were at 9:30. He woke up at like 7, shouted at me like, hey, are you going to go to the park? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it, buddy. He was like, I am not giving up those Flight of Passage fast passes. So I will meet up with you guys later. And he just went and got on a bus, went to Animal Kingdom and enjoyed probably half a day there by himself. And then came back and met us for lunch. It's been a liberating experience for him.
And let me get this straight. Learning. You blew off a Flight of Passage fast pass as well?
I did.
Because I confessed to it on a few shows now. I'm surprised I haven't gotten, hate mail yet.
I did. I just wasn't feeling well. And he was like, hey, I'm not, there's no way I'm missing that fast pass. He's like, you can go or you cannot go, but I'm going. And I was like, you do you, man. It's been really great. The transit system inside Walt Disney World makes it where he gets to be independent.
Yeah. And the reason why I ask is I have a 12-year-old daughter and or she's 13 now. But since she was 12, I've heard nothing about for my 14th birthday, I'm bringing a friend and we're going to get you guys. Oh, yeah. The countdown has already began.
We had exactly the same situation in our household. It was like we actually I think we got a 2-bedroom. But we just did a few days. So we took a friend from his school and we went for his 14th birthday. They were both 14. And I don't think we saw them for except dinner. Like I have a rule anytime we travel, everyone has to show up for dinner. And I don't think we saw them except for dinner for 3 straight days. They were up before we were up and they came back in the evening, in the solid late evening, stayed for fireworks.
We'll check in at dinner time. And other than that, see you, Mom.
Other than that, bye. You guys are much too lame. It's like you sit around thinking, I'm pretty cool. I like me. I think I'm great to hang out with. And then you have teenagers and you realize you're not at all cool in any way.
Well, you have to imagine doing Disney by yourself as a kid after you've been grown up in the parks and been pushed around in a stroller your whole life.
Exactly.
And now you finally get to go see ya. Yeah. That is like a coming of age story.
It really is. And it unfolded exactly like that.
As much as it is, with my kids coming back in and I've got a 7-year-old daughter and she's going, I can do everything now except for drive over at Tomorrowland Speedway by myself.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And I'm closing in on that, Dad. So this is just another line of passage that these growing up Disney kids do.
It is strange. The shared experiences, the shared milestones that Disney kids have, the first time they can ride Space Mountain or the first time they can go to the parks by themselves is a great example. Just the stuff that there are people who don't get to experience all those different ages with their kids at Disney World. And I'm pretty grateful for DVC for making it where we can do trips pretty frequently and watch our son develop through those stages. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the stage after that when they're like, Dad, I need some points because I want to book a trip. you know, and you're not invited.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. I'm a little stingy. Like, I love my trips. I'm sure, share the points with him, but.
It better be something like a honeymoon we're talking here, okay?
Exactly. Graduation, okay.
No, graduation, we're going with them, so we've already decided that one.
Well, nope. So high school graduation will go, but like college graduation, maybe you could take a trip if you have like a special someone or want to celebrate. I don't know. It would have to be a pretty big milestone for me to cough up some points.
Luckily, she's 13, so I have some time on those to figure out what my plan of action is. But this is what I love about talking with other members about. And I think this is what people love listening to the podcast and us talking with members is we start to relate and figure out and compare similarities.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some stuff that just like everybody, all Disney families have in common. We all have the shared experience of making fast passes, and that's something that you can't relate to anything else sort of outside the world of Disney.
No,
but we can all share that.
That feeling of, oh my God, was today my fast pass day? And you sleep in till 8:30 and you're just going, oh no, it was tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
So
I'm sure everyone has tried to book a fast pass on your arrival date's the 6th. So you think it's the 6th and it's the 7th. So everyone I think has had that experience.
Yeah. Or February sneaks in on you and you lose two.
I know. It's like February is a tricky one. Even 11-month window and 7-month window, because there's no February 29th or 30th or 31st. So March 1st is like the booking day for like 6 dates.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is just absolutely crazy.
It is crazy.
And that's where you just have to use the dashboard on dvcmember.com and figure all that out. Because I even had some bugs that I found in some of the calculator apps. And I think if you go over at D-Point, you'll see a bugs fix that it says, Chad reported a problem. I have some rapid-fire questions I'd like to throw at you as well. It's just something fun.
Okay.
Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Dole Whip. But Dole Whip Float.
Ooh, Dole Whip Float. We can still be friends.
Okay.
Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
Pretzel.
Do you use a poncho or an umbrella?
Umbrella or neither.
Okay.
I'm okay getting rained on. Most of the time, I would rather be a little bit damp than have to deal with a wet poncho in my bag.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the ponchos. Now, I'd rather haul an umbrella in a backpack.
Yep, I'm an umbrella person.
Do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Ears almost always. T-shirts rarely.
Does your family do matching t-shirts?
No.
No matching?
Although I threaten to for every trip. I have so far never made them do matching t-shirts.
And I take it the guys are pushing back on that pretty hard?
They're not fans of the idea, no.
Okay.
They do not like that idea at all. We're a family that wears mostly black most of the time. So we're like the goth family at Disney almost. Got them to the point now where they have agreed that they will do a black t-shirt.
Okay, well, the My DVC Points t-shirts are actually black, so.
I know.
Just saying. Throwing that out there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a bad plan.
What's your favorite land?
My favorite land has not been built yet, and it will be Star Wars Land. But my favorite land that exists right now is probably Fantasyland, I would say.
Okay. Favorite attraction?
Peter Pan's Flight.
The best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
Oh, well, you know it's Top of the World Lounge.
Yeah, there you go.
Or a cocktail and dessert.
The twofer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But if we're relaxing without food, then the spa at Saratoga Springs is pretty spectacular.
This is like 2 episodes in a row that spa has come up.
It's a great spa. I have been to some great, great spas outside of Disney World. We actually did Aulani this year, which is a world-class spa. And I would put Saratoga Springs in the running against the Aulani Spa. It's pretty great.
I know you're a Grand Flow girl. Have you tried?
Yes.
Have you compared the Grand Flow and Saratoga Spa? What's the 411 here?
Okay, so the Grand Floridian Spa is just as luxurious, but it's not quite as big. So the Saratoga Springs Spa, there's a little more room to spread out. And it's actually been remodeled more recently, so it's a little more modern vibe there. Plus, it's not as hectic. So I feel like your estheticians spend a little more time with you. It feels a little more personal, a little more slowed down. So I actually prefer the spa at Saratoga Springs over the spa at Grand Floridian, despite loving everything about the Grand Floridian. And if the Grand Floridian spa was the only spa on property, it would still be excellent. But if I have to pick a favorite, Saratoga Springs, the spa, is actually my favorite on property.
Okay. Okay. I'm seeing a show coming, right? The shakedown is, yeah. Yeah. The shakedown is is Chris from episode 15. Came back in and talked me into getting my wife a gift certificate there. He tried to talk me into the couples massage. Didn't work out. And
no?
Have
you ever gotten a massage?
I have. The whole couples massage thing seems weird.
Yeah. It can be weird. I'll give you that it can be weird. My husband's a big tough guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I end up talking with the massage therapist the whole time about various...
Can't do that. You got to relax.
I'm a podcast host. I talk to relax. Okay. Cut me some slack.
Right. Okay. 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 I'll give you that one. So my husband's a big tough guy. Like, you would never expect to see him in a spa. And it took me the first 10 years of our relationship. He was like, no, 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 nope, not doing it. No, no, still no. And I think we were on a cruise the first time. I was like, I booked us both facials and you're going because it's not cancelable. So we're going to go have these facials. And we had them at the same time, but not in the same space. So it wasn't like a couple's facial. It was same appointment, different estheticians. And he had his very first facial. And the minute he walked out of the room, he was like, I regret every dollar I have ever not spent on a facial. He enjoyed it so much because they gave him like a fresh shave and a massage. And it was just a really pleasant experience for him. So now about half of the time he'll join me at the spa. He'll get a massage or a facial. And it took some time. It took some doing, but I finally turned my husband into a spa guy.
Okay. I'm going to reconsider and I might end up trying this. I'm not promising anything.
You should. You just get the short one, whatever. If they have like a 30 or 40 minute option, do the short option and see if it's a thing.
What are some of your favorite Disney memories and stories?
I have this one picture that is from our second trip, the second time we went to Star Wars weekends, and my son is meeting Darth Vader, and he's standing in front of Darth Vader, and Darth Vader put his hand on his shoulder, and it like surprised him, but like made his face light up with joy. And he's like looking up at Darth Vader with this face full of joy. And he's a villains guy. Totally get it. Big villains fan myself. Before that trip, he was like, Mom, where do I get a shirt that says Darth Vader's biggest fan? And I'm like, I've never seen a shirt that says that. He's like, well, we have to make one. So we actually had a shirt made, I think on, you know, one of the t-shirt, like make a custom t-shirt sites that says Darth Vader's biggest fan. So he's wearing that shirt in the picture, and he just like came alive when Darth Vader was like talking to him. And it was like, that's an example of sort of the feeling that is my favorite memory.
That is the Disney magic right there.
It is. And it's just that feeling where everything just blooms open and you feel completely filled with joy.
And yeah, joy. Exactly. And you're a kid again, and you've got no worries in the world. And that's
magic. And all
magic
my favorite
right
stories
there
are about that feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to have to get that one in the show notes.
Okay.
Any other memories come to mind?
We went to Disney World for my husband's 40th birthday, and we went to Citrico's for the first time, and he had never had an Osabuco. And the Osabuco was on the menu, and I'm like, you have to try it. He's like, well, it's so weird. It's like a weird food to eat, and it's so out of my comfort zone. I don't think I'll like it. And I'm like, I promise you, I will order what you think you will like, and you should get the Osabuco. And if you don't like it, then we'll trade dishes. And so I can't remember. I think I got the steak, which is what he would normally have ordered. And the Osabuco came, and I'll never forget the name of our waitress. Her name was Gwen.
Educate me here. So what is it?
Okay. So an Osabuco is like it's a shank of beef with a bone in the middle. And in the center of the bone is like a well where there's bone marrow, right? And then around it is like the most delicious braised. Imagine, have you had like short rib, like braised short ribs, beef short ribs? It's like more tender short ribs. And it's usually cooked, at least Osabuco Italian style is usually cooked in Italian-ish seasoning, sometimes with a tomato situation. But the most interesting part of it is the bone marrow in the center. And at the meal at Citrico's, I'll never forget, like, our server, she was like, oh, do you want toast points to go with your bone marrow? And he was like, I don't know what that is, what a toast point is. And I don't know that I'm going to eat the bone marrow. And she was like, let me just get you some toast points. She went and got a little plate of toast points, and he had the bone marrow on the toast points. Ever since that moment, literally every time Osabuco's on a menu somewhere, he gets it. That's one of my favorite memories. Citrico's, Osabuco will be something that my husband and I will never forget. It was outstanding. The server was outstanding. Let's see what else. Oh, at the Top of the World Lounge, the bartender, Mike, I think he's been there for as long as it's been open, and he recognizes us every time we come in. That's really like a feeling of having your own home club, and you walk in and the bartender recognizes you. It's pretty great.
I've talked to several families that have a favorite bartender at Disney.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Yeah, those bartenders know what they're doing.
They do.
So what all is on your DVC bucket list?
Well, I get to check off one this year. We're staying DVC club level for the first time.
Yay.
I'm very excited. I cannot wait. I would love to do a DVC member cruise at some point. So far, I haven't been able to justify the extra cost over a regular cruise, but I feel like it might be a trip that my husband and I do for a special milestone anniversary, maybe.
Feel the same way on that.
It's not really a DVC bucket list item, but I would love to do all of the parks in Asia. So Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. That's kind of a loose plan for 2020 for us. We might go fly to Tokyo and then do a little couple of jumps and do all three of those parks, but no DVC rooms, so it won't be a DVC trip, but that's a Disney bucket list item.
I'm with you on that one.
I have to stay at Old Key West. I know that seems... I would like to complete the list of having stayed at every DVC resort, so got to get into Old Key West and Hilton Head and Vero at some point. Might tie Vero into a cruise, because it's right there, right by Port Canaveral.
That was my plan for 2019, and then it got blown up.
No.
Yeah, my daughter got into a dance competition that was at Disney.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Like 2 months before the cruise, and we were like, do we want to go to Florida twice in one summer?
Maybe no.
No, let's just cancel the cruise and the Vero plans, and the dance thing with her will be a lifetime memory.
Oh, so. For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I forget to ask this one
All
the time. If Tinkerbell doused your membership with 2,000 one-time use points that you could use for anything in the DVC system, what would you do with those 2,000
points? 2,000 points? How long do I have to use them?
A year.
Okay, so...
And you have like a two-year window.
I would do a two-week trip. One in a Grand Floridian Villa, Grand Villa, and one in a Copper Creek Cabin. I really want to stay in the Copper Creek Cabins. They're so beautiful.
Oh, they are. They're on my bucket list for sure. And I think when we go there, it's just going to be a resort only stay.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
There's so many points that we're not even leaving the resort.
I agree.
Okay?
Yeah. I might... I think they sleep 8 people, right?
Yep.
I might do a few days at the Copper Creek Cabins for our adult-only trip in the fall of 2020.
Nice.
I'm not a split-stay person, but that split-stay I would do.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Have you done split stays before or many?
Yeah, we've done a few. Because we love the last minute trips, sometimes it sort of works out that you have to stay on property. I've done as many as 2 in a week long trip, and I'm not a fan of packing up. And I feel like vacation hours are so precious that even if you have to spend an extra hour packing a bag that you have already unpacked and then moving it and then unpacking it again, and then having to pack it yet again at the end of the trip, I feel like that is poor value for your vacation minutes. We have done split stays, and because my husband loves Bay Lake Tower so much, I indulge him on many trips, and we'll do a couple nights at Bay Lake Tower before we go wherever else we're going. But in general, I do not love them. They're not my favorite thing.
What are your favorite rooms in Disney Resort?
So hands down, the one bedroom at the Grand Floridian I could live in for the rest of my life and never be unhappy. I think it is the design and the layout and the finishes and like even the, I know it's silly, but like even the appliances are just great. And the tub is great and the bathroom is great and the shower is great. I think the one bedroom at Grand Floridian is my favorite room that we've stayed in. Obviously, I also love the one bedrooms at Bay Lake and the Kidani one bedrooms, surprisingly amazing. People don't think of Kidani as being in one of the higher end brackets, but that one bedroom is outstanding. That's a great layout. Yeah.
It's spacious and that extra bathroom
it's really nice. That extra bathroom is really nice.
Now, what are some of your least favorite resorts or least
okay,
desirable?
I'm going to get some. Yeah.
We know Poly.
So I've stayed at Poly a couple of times this year because it comes up last minute sometimes because there's 300 studios. So they're bound to pop up now and again. And Poly and I have come to a truce. We're not best friends. We're never going to be best friends, but there are some significant advantages to having both monorails within walking distance. Not having to do
that
a monorail
nice.
Transfer is pretty huge. And then Trader Sam's is pretty great. So we like having a couple of nights to have cocktails there. It's pretty fun. So Polly and I are, we have a tenuous friendship. I'm going to get some hate for this, but my least favorite room that we've stayed in was the one bedroom at Beach Club.
What?
I know. Everyone is always surprised. I thought the furniture was too big. This was before the refurb, so they may have corrected it with the new furniture, but I felt like the furniture was too big for the room and it just felt very tight to me. And then that weird three doors in the bathroom thing that is at Beach Club and Boardwalk and Saratoga Springs. They all kind of have that weird
and Boulder
triangular.
Ridge.
Yeah. Oh, and Boulder Ridge too. The triangular bathroom that has like 147 doors to get into it.
It's an escape
room. I do not like that. Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you're trying to get up, if you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, it's like a maze of doors to get to the place where the commode lives. It's a lot. So I am not a fan of that layout.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that layout as well. But I think the rest of the resort for Beach Club just makes up for it, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Not a fan of Storm Along
no,
Bay?
It's fine. It's okay. But because we have annual passes, we can go to either of the water parks. We usually have the
plus passes.
Yeah, exactly. That includes water park access. So if we want a water park, we go to a water park. It's not enough of a upside for me to choose Beach Club because I don't like the room that much.
Not even the walking to Epcot? I mean, you have to admit, nope. That's pretty killer.
It doesn't do it for me. It's nice being able to walk back after food and wine. And that was the whole reason that we booked it when we stayed there, was to be able to walk back to the room after food and wine. It's a nice perk, but for me, it's not enough to make up for the... And you know what's funny is I really like Saratoga Springs and it has the same layout. Like, I enjoy our stays at Saratoga Springs, but I didn't enjoy Beach Club. And I always say it's because the layout of the room. I don't know. I guess we just like what we like. And I'm not that into Beach Club.
Yeah,
like, everyone else is super into it, and I'm just not into it.
The little horse pillows are cute over at Saratoga. I'll give them that.
They are. And the spa, for me, having that incredible spa on property is great. All of the new actual chef-curated restaurant options we just had the omakase at Morimoto Asia, and it was incredible.
Everything I've touched it at Morimoto Asia is just the bomb.
Yeah. I love having access to Disney Springs. So I feel like after Saratoga gets the refurb in 2019, that it is going to be a strong contender. I think it's going to be harder to book.
Well, 2020, the points are going down on those standard two bedrooms.
Pretty happy about that.
Me too, because I own some points at Saratoga and I was planning on going there anyways. That just really worked out well for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that resort is just such a sleeper hit. The location is great. The grounds are so beautiful. Like, people don't ever mention it. The views are gorgeous at that resort. Just all the greenery and the golf course and Turf Club, which I think you've not eaten at, right?
No, Turf Club is still on my list.
Go and have a steak at Turf Club. I would put it in the running with any other resort steakhouse. It's really
even
good.
Yachtsman, come on now.
I would
mess up. Be
I
honest.
I would put it in the running with Yachtsman. I would put it in the running with Yachtsman. I promise you, you will be pleasantly surprised. Try it. I think you will not be disappointed.
Okay. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
Okay.
It will be on my bucket list and I might hit it this next trip. Well, not this next
All
one.
All right. Let me know.
But I might hit it in my May trip. I'll have to give you an update on that. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And how can a listener get in touch with you if they have other questions?
You can post a message in the MyDVC Points group, and I will be sure and see it. Just
Sounds
look for
great.
Me, Ella Porter.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Chad. This was really fun.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I have two asks this week. One, like us on Facebook. Just search for MyDVC Points and like the main Facebook page. You can also join the community group. Right now, Shelby and I are practicing up on Monday nights at 9 o'clock, and we're going live and interacting with our listeners and our followers and just answering questions and general shooting the breeze. So if you like the show, you'll probably like the live, as it's a little bit more informal and a whole lot more interactive. And my second ask is, if you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can purchase one of our t-shirts. Just go to mydvcpoints.com/t-shirts. All one word, no hyphens. T-S-H-I-R-T-S. and you'll find a variety of shirts with our logo on there, and you can support the show, both financially and by rocking the t-shirt. Thanks for listening, and have a magical day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.